you guys. This is Christine.
And this is Hannes.
And we would like to wish you a very, very merry holiday season.
A merry holiday season.
That doesn't make sense.
Wait, it makes no sense.
Well, to say merry
the war
Christmas.
On Christmas has mixed you up. And then, there's merry and there's happy and there's holidays and there's Kwanzaa.
But I don't want to offend anybody.
Right. Well, let's say this. If you can be offended, you probably aren't listening to this now. So happy Kwanzaa and merry holidays and good Jewish day to you. Happy Hanukkah.
And thanks for listening to Storyworthy all year long.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Valley, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the 99 cents only store on La Tijera Boulevard in Los Angeles, California, right down the street from Sideshow Network.
That's right. Now, you know, my favorite 99 cent store is the one on Sunset Boulevard.
That is fun because it's you get some very wealthy people in there come down from the hills, and you get some real street people.
Well, one time I heard Patricia Heaton say, why was somebody so surprised to see me in the 99 cent store? Just because I'm rich doesn't mean I want to spend more on paper towels.
Yes. No, I believe that.
Well, I like the 99 cent store because, you know, it's my Halloween headquarters, my Christmas headquarters, yes, my Valentine's headquarters.
And you like to take your daughter in there, give her $5 and say, you can buy 5 presents for people.
You know, we do that actually around Christmas. We do. We take her shopping at the 99 cent store. And Hannes, I believe in the past, now it might not be you, but she's gotten some of my friends different things. For instance, Strawberry Quick. She bought that for somebody.
Sure, not bad.
She bought Adam a giant calculator. It was just it was like the size of a piece of paper, and it was a calculator.
And I believe last year I got 2 items for 99 cents.
What did you get?
I don't remember, but I was the special one. She bought me 2 things.
All right, so tonight's topic, you guys, saving a buck. Saving a buck. That's why we're at the 99 cent store.
Exactly, because I am... Well, I have no money, but also inherently, I'm one of the cheapest people on the face of the earth.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute. First of all, our guest tonight, Jennifer Valley, she brings forth the topic saving a buck, but I don't think saving a buck means being cheap, does it?
That's what it means to me.
Oh, interesting. Because I think they're like 2 different things.
Okay, well, let's hear your take on it.
No, I want to hear your take. You started
My take is that I come from this very, very Midwestern background, as we all know, because everyone's obsessed with me. Where it's like, God forbid you pay full price for something or that you admit it. It's always like, you know, if somebody compliments you on a piece of clothing in Milwaukee, it's got to be like, yeah, it's not like I bought this because I'm worthy of it. It was half price.
Let's play that out.
See, the shoes, there was a dead guy.
Yeah,
let's play that out.
So I would say, oh, hey, Hannes, your sweater's great. I love it.
Oh yeah, this is nothing special. I didn't even know it was Gucci. There was a sale down at the Goodwill, and apparently a guy died in it. And otherwise, I would never pay full price. I mean, that's crazy talk. That's
it
like
is
a New York
thing.
True.
Everybody in the Midwest, when you compliment them, they go right to price.
Yes.
I got it half off. I got it so and so. They have to mention the price instead of just saying thank you.
Right. No, because that's like, God forbid, I think of myself as being worthy of something that cost retail price.
Right.
It's not even the cheapness. It's the, like, you're not worth it.
Okay, I had a conversation recently with my sister about my mom, something about money. And we were talking about, and I said something about, like, you know, I'm struggling financially. I haven't had a mani-pedi in 2 months or something like that, right? And my sister kind of laughed. And she said, you know, there are people with tons of money that would never get a mani-pedi anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's funny. It just depends on where you put your value. So people that are stuffy or stubborn about, you know, I got this half off, I didn't pay that much, it was a super sale, they get so stubborn about that rather than like just being confident and saying thank you and realizing that they put their money in other places. And I mean, in other words, everybody just makes different choices, but why do they have to somehow validate that they made the right choice by not paying full price?
Right. And again, I think it all comes back to you're saying same thing. And oddly enough, England has the same problem. Everybody in England is so completely self-effacing that they're like, you know, like, no, it's not like I thought I was, you know, I got this great thing, but it was just an accident. It's not like I think I'm better than you.
Right, right.
It's always the, if I paid full price, then I think I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Which is psychotic, of course.
I don't want that. I don't want to, like, I don't know. I don't want to put so much value on money. I don't mean value like currency, but I don't want to put so much emphasis on money that I would have to base my true and false sentences around it. I mean, I just want to speak cleanly. You know, if somebody says, I like your shirt, thank you very much, and just be done with it.
Oh,
like,
I know. But we can, you know, what is that? Midwesterners can't take a compliment.
Okay.
I think most of America can't take a compliment.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Here's what I don't like. I don't care for the coupons. I don't care for store coupons. I'm not clipping things out. I'm not putting it in my purse. I'm not taking it to the store. Now, that being said, I got LASIK surgery in 2001 on my eyes, and I got it with a coupon for $500 an eye.
Nice. First of all, I like that you pointed out you got LASIK on your eyes, because if you got it on your ass, then you completely went to the wrong kind of doctor and you can't see any better.
But yes, LASIK surgery was
and
relatively new then.
You literally have a paper coupon with
you. I had
you.
A paper coupon, $500 an eye, and it was really relatively new then, and people were spending like $5,000 an eye.
Yeah.
And anyway, I went to this place in Santa Monica on Colorado, and you know what, Hannes? That experience getting LASIK surgery changed my goddamn life.
Because
I can see.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's unbelievable. It was like at the end of the process, it was like they touched my head with their hand and they said, boom, now you can see. And I literally walked outside and it was like, get the fuck out. I had no idea.
Right. Like, you have no, like,
I still wear
glasses, and it's like there is the edge of your glasses is perceptible to you,
mm-hmm.
In your peripheral vision. But you don't think about it. But then on the odd occasion I wear my contacts, I'm like, why isn't there this sort of dark area way over to the right and left?
Well, you have to be like a candidate for LASIK surgery. So it's not, you know, it's not for everybody.
No, we know somebody, Wendy.
Wendy.
Who went all the way through everything. It was the day of. She goes in there. She hasn't worn her contacts in 3 weeks or whatever the hell it is.
No makeup.
No makeup. No nothing. She walks in. They go, nope, you can't have it.
Yeah. They just give her money back and all that. All right, so that's how I've used a coupon in the past. So I will admit that. That being said, I am not going to Black Friday. I'm not going to a day after Christmas sale. I am not trying to, you know, save $10 on a DVD player. I am not a sale mob person. You know what I mean? And I think part of that is because I don't really care for a lot of stuff. I like
a minimalist
lifestyle.
For the Black Friday, which has passed. There was a guy camped out outside the Best Buy in, I think, Burbank, but doesn't matter, someplace like that. He was camped out for a week.
Yeah.
A week to save $100 on an iPad.
So what?
Now, if you paid me $100, I wouldn't spend 7 days in a tent in a parking lot.
Right. So then we question everything about him. I mean, obviously, he does not have a girlfriend.
Or a job. Yeah, his mother is like, she probably paid him $500 to get out of the house for a week.
Also, it seems like people save money and they spend money, you know, and that it justifies it. You know, like, well, it was on sale, you know, so I can buy 15 pairs of socks, even though I don't need any socks, but they were on sale. Here's a new pair of gloves, but you don't need gloves. You live in California.
There's an old joke.
Yeah, well, they're on sale.
Do you know who Alan King is?
Right.
The comedian, he had a thing where he has his wife comes home with a wedding dress. The joke is so old that the price is crazy, but he comes home with a wedding dress. He says to her, why do you need a wedding dress? We've been married for 16 years. And she says, for $110, it can hang in the closet.
That's
like, yeah,
funny.
Just by virtue of the fact that I think it was like $17 when
right.
he wrote the joke. But yeah, well, you know what I will fall for is coupons. I don't like the paper coupons, but I will fall for the Vons Club or Ralph's Club card every time.
Oh, that's true. Now,
every
see, there's
time.
Another example. Like when I go to Albertsons, now they stop using the card, which I appreciate.
Oh.
But for a while there, I had to punch in my phone number.
Yeah. No, I still do that, and it says you've saved $12. And it's like, I always think I've saved $12, but I haven't saved $12. They sold it to me for what they're willing to sell it to me.
On this given day, right.
And if I happen to be dumb enough and I don't buy four Diet Pepsis and I only buy one, I'm not getting a sale price.
Right. The price of the item, right. The price of the item is what it is today, what you are willing to give them to make that transaction happen.
Yeah.
That being said, I always look at the savings things, the savings line at Albertsons, because it'll say like, you save 20%. Or 32%.
And they don't have the club
They
anymore?
Don't have that card. Everybody's a member of the club. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to belong to Albertson's Grocery Store.
This is extra bullshitty. Because what they are doing is taking the actual price they're willing to sell for, then putting an inflated price above that,
right.
Pretending that that's the price they would charge you.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And they're just making you believe.
One more example I wanted to share before we bring
fucking
on
Albertsons.
Our lovely guest, Jennifer Valley, is my oldest sister. You know, I've got four sisters, Hannes. This sister...
Your oldest sister is 900 years old.
She's the wealthiest sister. She's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Now, she would collect Snickers candy bar wrappers until she had 10. And then she would put the 10 wrappers in an envelope, put a 40-cent stamp on it, or whatever it costs, uh-huh. and send it away to Snickers. And she would receive back a check for $1. And she still probably does this. So how much is a stamp now?
But she's the rich one, so why are we
making
fun of
her? Well, that's why she's the rich one. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So in other words, in a way, I'm criticizing. And in the other way, she's in the big house.
That's true. It's like I never used to take in my recycling. But now that Cherry and I are together, I do that. And it's like you realize... It's like you take, you know, a bunch of shit in your car and you get like $10 and you think this isn't worth it. But then you think, if I didn't do that, that's $10 I literally would have thrown in the trash.
So, you did throw it in the trash, but then you're taking the trash. Right. Because
right.
the trash has value.
Trash.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I don't do that with my recycles because I see the same people every morning at my recycling bins and I think I'm somehow responsible for them now.
You know,
what I mean?
Really pisses me off. I don't know. It's very liberal Democrat of me. But, you know, when people like come onto your property and just go through your recycle bin at 5 a.m., it's like, hey, you know what?
We're trying to sleep here. Yeah.
Well, we're trying to sleep here. Also, there's children that live here in this building. It's like, you can't just fucking come in here and take this and look at me like we owe it to you.
Well, there's a couple of different ways to look at that. One example.
Yeah, my way and the wrong way.
You could put the items. Everybody could put their items in a Trader Joe's bag or whatever and just set it there so that nobody has to go through anything. They can just take it and take it with them. And then they don't have to go through the trash. They can
they're
just pick up the bag.
They're going to go through the trash anyhow.
And then there's the side that they're going to go through it anyway. And, you know, like every day I take my daughter, we leave for school at 7:55 and we pass the same homeless people taking the recycles every morning. It's a mom and her son. So it's like a mother and a
son. You don't know they're homeless.
Well, that's true. They might not be, but they're at my recycles every morning. And now Alabama, we say, hey, how's it going? And then we walk to the car. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's the answer?
The answer is that I blame the Republican Congress for everything. Now, before we get started, I did want to mention that you can now listen to Storyworthy on the Swell Radio app. Swell is like Pandora, but for podcasts.
Exactly.
So you don't have to make decisions about what to listen to. Swell figures that out for you.
Or you could just listen to Storyworthy. I mean, that's what we're pushing.
Right. Number one, you know what? Screw the rest of them. Only Storyworthy. Storyworthy all the time. So that's available for free on an iPhone. It's coming soon to Android. Droid. In early 2014. Wow. 2014. That really sounds like the future. But
just
it's
a
not.
Couple of weeks away. And you can learn more, folks, at swell.am. And Storyworthy, we'll see you there on Swell.
Swell.am.
That's Swell.
It's Swell, see?
Also, folks, if you have a chance, head on over to iTunes. Leave Storyworthy a good review. There's a lot of reviews for us, honest. Some are good, some are bad. Not that I read them, but now and then I read them.
Well, the problem with this is that negative people really seem to have a lot of time to be like, I'm going to, you know, say, I love everything about Storyworthy except the two people who host it, which means that's like, I love cars except for the wheels. I really enjoy the interior of the car, but the fact that it moves is very irritating to me. So just, send it. You know, it doesn't have to be long. Just click a thumbs up or whatever the hell it is and say, hey, I like Storyworthy.
It's stars, goddammit. We need stars.
Right. YouTube is thumbs up. That's
also,
right.
You guys, I wanted to give a special shout out and a special thank you to our listeners in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.?
Honest, we have a lot of fans out there in Washington, D.C., and we really do appreciate the folks listening there in our nation's capital. And also, I wanted to mention, we do have a couple of special fans that I'd like to say their
special
names.
Special fans, not short bus fans. Special
That's right,
fans.
Special fans. And that is Jeff Polier, Robin Roberts. Stu G., Erica Elliott, and many, many others. You guys consistently like all of our stuff, and you give us your undying support. And I'll tell you something, you guys, it does not go unnoticed.
Yes,
so
we would
thank
click
you.
Like under your face if we could. So you should wear like a necklace around your neck that says like, and then we will poke you in it.
And we'll
if
poke
we see
you in the face.
No, under the face, in the throat. God, poke him in the face. That's crazy talk.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, stay tuned because Jennifer Valley is on her way here. Next week on Storyworthy, we have writer Chad Gervich.
And I'll be talking about college pranks.
That's next week on Storyworthy.
Hey, this is Joe Bartnick from Puck Off, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We have left the 99 cent only store and traveled to Dollar Tree.
Is there a difference, really?
Well, there is, because things at the Dollar Tree can don't have to cost a dollar. They just cost, you know, $1 or $2 or $3. It's not as consistent.
The
as
tree
the
is more abundant.
Ah, very good. Yes. Oddly enough, the only thing you can't buy there, actual living vegetation.
Why is everything just a little skewed at the dollar store? Everything is just skewed a little bit. You know what I mean?
I know. It used to be the 99 cent store used to be like that, where it'd be like Vietnamese toothpaste and stuff. But
right.
Now that the Dollar Tree does have the stuff that even the 99 cent store won't buy.
Oh, there'll be like odd flavors, you know, like Oreos with purple frosting or, you know, something.
Well, yeah, they have a lot of foreign
right.
foreign products. They'll be like, yeah, prawn Oreos and.
Oh, my gosh.
And just
a lot of fruit in cans.
Right. Fruit that you don't even recognize in cans.
A lot of odd-sized bags.
Yeah.
Plastic
or like,
bags.
Or you know what's always got to be depressing is the literature section of those places, because you're like, here's Jimmy Carter's autobiography for a dollar, and you're like, that's sad.
Right. Or it'll be like, who was O.J. Simpson's? Faye Dunaway? Faye Resnick. Faye Resnick's autobiography or somebody like that. It'll be
but
like
see,
that.
But she should be at the 99 cent store. A former president of the United States. Should not have a book of the 99 cent store. Or Kirk Douglas. I picked up one of his books. It was a little book I couldn't not buy. It was 99 cents. There's a book about him recovering from a stroke and learning to speak again.
Wow.
Now I've never read it, but I had to buy it.
You are so funny. You're as bad as the woman with the $110 wedding dress. That she
yes,
doesn't need.
Exactly.
All right, you guys. Jennifer Valley is here right now. She is a comedian, a writer, and a producer. Jennifer began her show business career at the age of 11 months old. She was plucked off the streets to be the Gerber baby. What do you think of that, Hannes?
Wow.
She is pretty cute.
She's wearing a diaper and nothing else right now. So it is. She's following in her that footstep.
Jennifer has written and produced TV shows for... I swear, Hannes, I was going to go through the list, but why bother? She's written and produced TV shows for everybody. How about that?
Everybody.
And you can find her on Twitter at Jennifer Valley. But keep in mind, Jennifer Valley, Valley is V-A-L-L-Y. There's no E. That's
There's
how she
no
gets
E,
you.
Right. If she had an E, she would own the San Fernando Valley, and then she would not come on our fucking show. So since she only does missing an E, she has to come around and talk to us.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jennifer Valley.
Yay, Jennifer Valley's here. I married into that name. My maiden name was I'm Dutch, so it was like Stolkreidanis, so it's a little much. So I kept the Valley, even though I've been divorced for 13 years. Also, I have a coupon book. I am the queen of cheap. I will go out of my way. I have my categories. I can't pay full price for anything. I don't know. It's some upbringing thing. But plus, I'm always trying to save money. So I'm going to tell you a little story about. Another way I saved money for one of my girlfriends, and I'm not going to mention her name in case she gets embarrassed by this, but this is one of my dearest friends from high school. And She moved away after high school. And let me just tell you what she looked like first. Just a knockout. In high school, she was the girl most likely to get laid by everybody, or wanted to. She had long blonde hair, huge natural boobs, just a gorgeous, gorgeous girl. And she ended up moving to Michigan, to a city called Ypsilanti, where she lived for 18 years. And every time she'd call me, she goes, well, I don't look the same. I'm corn-fed now, you know, which meant she was just getting bigger and bigger. I'm corn-fed. She would be slapping her stomach or, you know, whatever. So she came back last year, and she was telling me she needed a lot of dental work. So her insurance, she's with Kaiser, would only cover like $1,500 a year. So that was going to cover one cap. The dentist told her she needed 8 root canals. 8. So I was thinking, well, you know what? Maybe you should check out Tijuana. Now, the reason I bring up Tijuana is because I grew up in San Diego. I know people laugh. They go, Tijuana? Well, I grew up in San Diego, and Tijuana was like my neighbor to the south. And when I was a teenager, we went there for everything. You know, we would get booze. We would eat off the taco trucks. I even saw, when I was 18, a donkey show. Still ingrained in my brain. I will never forget that as long as I live. One of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. But I knew that a lot of Americanos went down to TJ to get not only dental work, some medical procedures, medication, because it's a lot cheaper there and they don't have the rules and regulations and the FDA and all that stuff that we have here in the United States. So, you know, I said, why don't you try to check out Tijuana? So she was calling around and found out that quite a few of her friends had gone to Tijuana and recommended a certain dentist. So I said, great, I will go down there with you. So we drove down to Tijuana. This was about 6 months ago. We drove down to Tijuana. I knew the routine because I'd been there so much. You can park literally across the street from the border for $5 for the whole day. You walk over the bridge, and as soon as you walk into Tijuana, there's literally a huge, like, circular mall, and every other shop is a dentist and a farmacia. Dentist, farmacia, all catering to the Americans, and especially the farmacias, because you can get all your medication there cheap and without, you know, a prescription. No prescription necesario in Tijuana. So, for example, I go down there to get Retin-A. Now, Retin-A, if no one knows what that is, it's a face cream that was developed for acne, but a secondary effect was they found out it takes away lines and wrinkles on a woman's face. But if you go to the United States, you have to go to the dermatologist. That's $80. The prescription is $70. So Tijuana, literally $4 a tube. So every one of these pharmacias on the outside trying to lure in the Americanos, Retin-A for the ladies, and of course for the men, Viagra. Right? Because you can get it. No prescription necessario. But here's the really ironic part. My face actually looks younger next to a wrinkled penis. An erect one, a little liney. So it's like the gift of the magi. If we both left it alone, it would all be good, you know? But anyway, so we go to the dentist. So I bring Charlene, we cross the border, and we find the dentist's office, and the dentist is named Marisol. Not like Dr. Garcia. It's Marisol. Looks like a girl in her 20s. Walk in, the place surprisingly clean and hygienic looking. And it's one of those places, and I noticed a lot of American dentists are doing this now too. It's like that open room concept where it's just a bunch of chairs as opposed to like individual rooms. So Charlene goes in. Oh, I wasn't going to say her name. I said her name twice. So we go into the room, and Charlene is starting to look a little nervous, right? Oh, my God. Okay, so my friend is starting to look a little nervous. And Marisol is checking out her thing and says, yeah, you've got, you know, you need 8 root canals. Oh, by the way, Charlene doesn't speak a word of Spanish, and Marisol doesn't speak a word of English. So I speak Spanish a little bit. Mi abuela vive en España. My grandmother lives in Spain, and, you know, I took a lot of Spanish, so I could speak enough. So she's telling her she's only gonna try one tooth. Charlotte, my friend, says fine. And she says, do the one where I want the crown. So she gives her some Novocaine. Gives her one shot. Waits about 15 minutes. And Marisol goes in, touches her tooth. And my friend's like, ow, ow, I can feel that. I can feel that. I can feel that. So I ask Marisol, can you give her Moss medicine, you know? So she gave her another shot of Novocaine, another 15 minutes. Again, My friend is like, I can feel it. I can feel it. And she's getting a little nervous now. I'm like, oh, my God. So she gives her more Novocaine. She ends up giving her 5 shots of Novocaine. And my friend's like, I can still feel it. And the dentist's like, I gave her enough Novocaine to numb a horse. So, you know, this is it. So she goes in, starts to do the work, and my friend's like, I feel that, I feel that, I feel that. And all of a sudden, she does like this shake thing, like she's having a seizure, and passes out with her eyes open. So I'm like, holy moly, she's dead. She's out with her eyes open. And I thought, because I think people die with their eyes open, right? So I'm trying to feel her pulse, and she's not as thin as she used to be. So I'm feeling for her pulse. I feel nothing. Not a thing. And all of a sudden, Marisol's like, doctor, doctor, doctor. A doctor with a coat comes from upstairs, and he puts on his stethoscope, and he's feeling around her chest, and he's like, and I'm like, oh, my God, we don't feel anything. And I'm like, oh, my God, great. I'm going to have to drag her body across the border. I'm going to have to get a dolly. I'm trying to, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have to get a taxi. How am I going to get her body across the border? So I'm looking at her, and I'm like, you know, trying to slap her little face, slap it. I'm like, wake up, wake up. And all of a sudden, she just, with a start, sits up. Where am I? Where am I? What's going on? I said, well, you just literally passed out. She goes, oh, my God. Oh, I'll be better now. I'll be better now. And the doctor is trying to ask her questions. So I'm asking, you know, do you have high blood pressure? And then he says the words that really freaks her out. He says to me, gordita. Un poquito gordita, which means fat. Gordo is fat. And he says gordita. That's the only word my friend knows in Spanish. He's calling me fat. Did he call me fat? Did he call me fat? I know. He's saying you're a little chubby. Gordita is just a little chubby, you know. And she's freaking out. So thank God, you know, I was, and she's thinking, well, I'll just sit here for a minute and they can continue the work. I'm like, no, but it's Tijuana. Who knows? Maybe they will carry on. So finally, the doctor says, you know what? He tells me in Spanish, we're not going to do this today. You know, we are not. She was, you know, I couldn't feel her pulse. You know, she was out for a good 3 minutes. And no, we're not going to do it. And she's like, but I'll be better. And he says, you know what? Go to the United States, get a note from your doctor, get some blood work, and come back and let me know that you're not going to die on this chair getting dental work, right? So she is so numb and she's all like woozy. And I'm like, oh, my God, we got to get out of here, you know. So as woozy as she is, we get out of the dentist, and the first thing she does, I want a taco from the taco truck. I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm, like, dragging her over to the taco truck, and she's deciding. I'm like, I'm afraid she's going to chew her tongue off. I mean, she's got so much Novocaine in her mouth. Yeah. But she eats the taco. And then here's the thing with leaving Tijuana. When you enter Tijuana, literally you just walk over a bridge and you're in it. When you leave, whether you're walking or driving, you have to wait in this line. Literally, she's like, you know, and I can't carry her. There's a line over an hour long to get out. So I'm like, well, now what am I going to do? So I see these vans, you know, you can sit in a van and supposedly it goes faster. I just paid for both of us. Ends up it takes just as long, but at least she's sitting down, you know. So that was a disaster. So I get her all the way home, tell the story to her husband, and he says, oh, that same thing happened to her at the eye doctor. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, she was going to go in for LASIK, and they put some drops in her eye, and the doctor was going to do it. And she goes, I can feel that. I can feel that. And the doctor's like, no, you can't. I numbed your eye. And she goes, I can feel it. And did the same exact thing, did the shaking thing, passed out with her eyes open. And I'm like, hey, don't you think you could have told me that before we went to Tijuana, you know? And me thinking you're dying on the chair. So this is a recurring thing with her. So then she's like, oh, please, will you go with me again? Well, her regular doctor gave her like a boatload of Valium or something. So literally on the way down there, she's like, you know, she's melting into the car. Went there. She was calm as can be. She literally was snoring during her root canal. Nice. But I had to sit there the whole time holding her hand just in case. So that's what my friend did to save a buck.
Oh, awesome.
And how much does it cost?
A root canal generally costs, her dentist was quoting her $1,200.
Per root canal.
Per root canal, and she needed 8, so that's a lot. The dentist in Tijuana charged $200.
200 per, so she got...
Per tooth.
So how many trips did she end up doing? She got all eight at once?
No. She did them like one or two at a time. But what happened after I went with her the second time, it was like her husband said, I'll go with her the rest of the time. You've done your duty,
yeah.
You know. I did my due diligence. That was enough. Because that
yes,
first
you
time
are
was
a good
so
friend.
Scary. You
well,
know?
When you first start talking about the whole thing, I thought you were going to, you know, come back with some reference that you were 22 or 25. And then you said this was 6 months ago.
Yes.
So 6 months ago, you take a friend down to Tijuana. In other words, this is something that, okay, it was a choice.
Right. And I mean, yeah. She was doing it to save money, obviously.
And it does work.
And there's plenty of Americanos. In fact, now I don't know if it was Miss Marisol, but there are, all the dentists have their certificates, and most of them were trained in the United States.
Sure.
And they practice in San Diego and Tijuana. And they go to Tijuana because they don't have to deal with insurance. The people come in, they pay their cash, and they get out.
Now, here's a question I have about the pharmacy, because I'm very tempted to go down because, you know, you get antibiotics or something. It's like dealing with Kaiser Permanente is just a nightmare. So it's like when you're coming back into the country with a bag, the customs, they don't care.
You're technically supposed to have a prescription,
yeah.
But you just keister it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, you just put
one
it
in the stink.
You know, you just put it in your handbag or something. They're not
okay. So
search.
You ju- but, so you should
like retin-A,
put
like
it somewhere
I get a Renova or
that
pills.
It's like oh no, yeah. I
well,
had this already.
Well, how much would you be taking? I mean, it depends
that's
on
true.
If you're trying to. Because I was when I was a flight attendant, I flew with this guy who always got flew the San Diego route because he would go down to Tijuana and buy steroids, and he got busted in Tijuana. And had they found out at the airline, he would have been fired.
Yeah.
But he did get busted and then was completely. Exiled from Mexico. He can never go back there. I mean, you're out.
Yeah.
So it depends on how much you're buying.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just buying a little bit for yourself, like my friend Mike, he's a comic. He goes down there and gets his heart medication only because he has a prescription, but it's just literally a fifth the price.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to assume, though, you are also taking a chance because it's not like FDA approved necessarily. It
could
be expired.
Well, actually, if you look at the bottles, it's all Johnson & Johnson.
I know, but it seems like it could be expired. It could be placebos. I mean, that's the whole thing.
I know, but see, that's where they get you. They want you to think, you know, oh, it's maybe dangerous when maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not, but I'm just saying you're still talking about your health and you still could be taking a chance.
Well, that's true, but if Mexicanos are taking it, well, not that they're the healthiest down there in Tijuana, but you know, because the people
well,
with the
they, yeah, but they're like, listen,
the
we could be shot at any moment, so I'm just going to take some steroids. What the hell? By the way, I just have to say, when you were describing her with this. I could feel it. I was like I was thinking, this is all in her head. This is all in her head. And then she passes out, and it's like as a person who's had anxiety attacks, like I could tell, like this is she did this to herself. This is all anxiety.
I didn't see
anxiety.
That coming at all.
I saw, yeah, but I completely was like, and then when her heart stopped, I was like. Maybe I was wrong about that, but apparently she can.
I can't believe she wanted to go forward.
Oh, I just wanted to add one more thing. Oh, so she told me that why we couldn't feel her heart or her pulse after the eye doctor.
She's
thing,
so gordito.
Well, after what she went to the doctor and she had one of the doctor was trying to find her pulse, the American doctor, and said, "Now I know you're alive because I'm talking to you, but I do not feel a pulse.
Wow,
or your heartbeat.
That's amazing.
Wow. So either her blood pressure is so low,
so you could never feel it, even if she's
right.
Awake.
So I mean, I'm next to her holding her hand. I'm like, I can't feel anything
at that moment. Right when the doctor's coming down from upstairs, and of course I knew he was a doctor because you said he had a jacket on or a coat. So
yeah,
that's
like,
how you.
Oh, I got to follow up. When we came back the next time, the doctor came back down. He's a chiropractor. He wasn't even a medical doctor. He just had a white coat and a stethoscope.
So my point is, at that point, did you for a second just want to grab your cell phone and call 911?
You can't even call from down there.
No, I know you can't.
I know.
But don't you want to?
Yeah, well, except the doctor was right there. That was, I mean, he came down so quick.
He wasn't a doctor.
I didn't know that because it says doctor and he had a white coat on and a stethoscope. You know, it's not till
I'm not a doctor, but I play one in Tijuana.
But it wasn't until the next time I came down that he was a chiropractor.
If you're in Tijuana, now I might be being very naive here, but if you're in Tijuana and you're on your cell phone, you hit 911, that's not going to anybody. Is that true?
That's correct.
If you hit the country code for America, which is what, 001?
Yeah, 011 or whatever.
011-911. Are you going to get anybody to help you? No.
Well, they wouldn't. No. They wouldn't come across the border anyway,
I guess
right?
Not.
That's why
right.
I was thinking, how am I going to get the body across?
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I like that you thought that they would just let you transport the body away. You know, they do have some civilization in Mexico.
Well,
they would require a police report.
You were going to have to take a body.
I just didn't want her to.
Is she really a friend?
She is a very, very
she
good
must be.
But listen to this. You're right about the anxiety thing, because I think that's something that she developed, because I was taking her, she came here to visit, and I was taking her to Franklin Canyon. I don't know if you know where that is. It's a nice hiking place hidden in the middle of Beverly Hills, and there's a little bit of a windy road. Well, now she's got a fear of falling off cliffs, and I don't know where that came from. It's very irrational. So we were literally driving a thing, and she said, put the car in the middle, put the car in the middle. And she put the car in the middle of the road and then got out. I said, no, you can't. You have to get in the car. You know.
Her doctor at Kaiser needs to describe her some perhaps Prozac or some sort of antidepressant.
Yeah, I don't know, Jennifer.
She has severe anxiety issues.
Yeah, but I did not know till when
and
I came back.
And she's fat.
Okay, so let's talk about...
She's not
fat. I just have to say, gordita?
Means gordita. Gordo is fat. Gordita is a little fat.
Right, and so there's an actual food at Taco Bell called the gordita.
Yeah, that's
insanity.
Right.
It's like it's a little fat. That's what the name of the sandwich is. It's crazy.
Let's talk about your coupon book, because truly, Jennifer Valley is sitting
here, I want to see it opening up.
And it's not just like a coupon book like that's made out of like plastic and it's falling apart, but there's... Like,
oh,
it's
my
a leather,
God.
It has like a leather binding thing. And
yes,
it's,
and there are little tabs.
And I have all my categories.
And the categories.
It opens like an accordion.
It's like
Filofax.
Remember that, kids?
Yeah, I shop at Ralph's, so I get Ralph's coupons, and then I have the card. So, you know, and then at Ralph's now, too, if you fill out the survey, you get points. You can get cheap gas at
Yeah, there
Shell.
Is. There's
you
a
get
whole,
20 cents off a gallon.
Yeah, there's a gas connection. That's very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
But truly with coupons, I mean, I'm not, believe me.
No, it does work. If you're willing to put the work in, you can save a lot of money.
Well, you know how I used to do it, which was totally ridiculous? I would just buy things because I had a coupon, which is ridiculous because then it would sit on the shelf and go rotten. Now, of course, I've evolved it to I only get coupons for things I actually use.
Well, that's the thing is I think that the lines get blurred with what you need as opposed to what you could save. Therefore, it must be worthy. And I just feel like, I don't know, like Southern California, you guys, you don't go to one grocery store. You have to go to like four because Trader Joe's does not carry... They don't carry a lot of things. First of all, they don't carry anything for children. So there's no diapers, there's no wipes, there's nothing like that. So right off the bat, you have to go somewhere else for... And right. Essentially, you have to go somewhere else for sundries anyway.
I mean, I do three stores. I do Trader Joe's, Costco, and Ralph's. That's like where I
right.
get
so you have to
divvy
go,
everything
so
up.
So it's not like I'm not... Like, I know... And all of our listeners, and I know they're fascinated,
yes,
we all know that the creamer at Trader Joe's is $1.99. We know that. This is obvious, and at Albertsons, it's $3.99. Now, we can do that math.
Right.
Trader Joe's has the best prices on dairy. I'll be straight up. As a coupon and a person who bargain shops, Trader Joe's has the best prices on dairy. It's true.
You heard it right here first,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
Right. By the way, I just want to say about the coupon thing. Have you seen the show, I think it's called, there's probably several of them, Extreme Couponing?
I haven't.
Okay, you've never seen this? Okay, because they show these people. It's a reality show, but they're not lying. They'll like these people. They get like 110 coupons.
Right.
And they go and buy an entire grocery cart of stuff, and the store will owe them $5.
Now, I hear what you're saying, but it just
it's
sounds
madness.
Like an awful lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
A lot of time, and also a lot of like personal investment to somehow, not to what you're doing, Jennifer, but what you're talking about, Hannes, these extreme couponers, it's almost like it's their power. You know, it's kind of like that's where they shine. They really shine trying to prove a point that they are somehow smarter than you because they... save 5 cents. Like, they'll go out of their way to buy gas cheaper, literally 10 miles away, because it's 3 cents cheaper. But wait a minute, you had to drive there and spend the gas to get... So there's... It right. gets complicated.
Right. Well, one of my old PTA moms was... In fact, her email was like coupon head. She was an extreme couponer. And she said one day she bought $300 worth of stuff, and everybody in the store came around because they knew. You
right.
know, she had like a stack of coupons,
right.
and she ended up paying 20 cents.
Right.
And so, like, literally.
And then did she sign autographs and felt really
yeah.
good about herself?
Hello, yes, hello, I'm the coupon head.
No, I get it. I get it. And
but,
you know.
You know, a lot of these things you have to buy, like, you know, 20 of the soaps to make it zero or something. So you have to, like, kind of hoard the items as
and
well.
And I've seen that at Costco, and I'm not a Costco person because I don't like the idea of hoarding. I live in a small space. I don't need toilet paper for 6 months. I need toilet paper for 2 weeks.
Yeah, see, we go to Costco, but we only buy toilet paper. Because I am a man, and I go through a lot of toilet paper all the time. I'm using some right now. We get kitty litter.
Yes,
and
I do
we
too.
Get gas.
Yes.
And a giant 5-pound bag of peanuts in the shell. That's pretty much all that we other than that, it's not. It's worth it for Costco to do those items.
I don't even like the size of the carts. It just makes me nervous to think that people are consuming at such a level that they just have to get. You know, there's like a angry aggression going on.
It's the worst parking lot in the world.
Oh, wait, it is.
Isn't the Costco the worst parking lot in the world?
The worst.
There are no rules. It's Thunderdome. It's like you say, they're all consuming. Everybody's like out of their fucking minds. Like, I got to get in there
and save
money. And yeah, it's the worst parking lot I've ever been
to. Let me tell you something about Costco too. I go there now that I'm not working. I kind of go in the afternoon, and it's like a senior citizen date night. I mean, senior citizens are lining up for the free samples.
Oh, I see.
With these giant carts, it's like if you wanted to kill old people, put anthrax as a free sample at Costco.
They'll take it.
They don't care what it is. They're waiting in line. That's how they get free food.
What it is. They don't care what it is.
It's
they just
free,
want it because it's free,
and they
want to
eat it.
Oh, see, I think that's really. I don't care.
I cannot stand that. And they're like aggressive about it.
I just realized that old people with those carts is just like old people with big old Buicks and Oldsmobiles.
Now, that being said about the samples, I am a sucker for samples at Trader Joe's. And if I like it, I'll buy it.
Oh, yeah. In that little thing, that's all good because they're cooking it.
And it seems like sweet.
Healthy.
It doesn't seem as mean. Or what? What's the word?
No,
it's
Trader
not as pushy
Joe's
either.
Is a brilliant use of atmosphere. The atmosphere of Trader Joe's is like, hey, man. We're all in this together, and we're wearing Hawaiian shirts.
They're crew members.
Hey,
we found
some good.
Well, also,
look at these watermelons we found.
But I love that they sell at Trader Joe's like a half a loaf of bread. Because it's like the bachelor loaf. Because I don't need a full loaf of bread. Or they'll sell things in smaller quantities, like 3 apples instead of 15 apples in a bag. So Trader Joe's, they seem to know their customer. A lot of frozen pizza. A lot of alcohol.
Yes. A lot of big, those plastic bins with the tiny chocolate chip cookies in them.
Mm.
Oh, I can make love to that thing.
I just bought my friend for Christmas a bottle of single malt scotch at Costco. It was like $20, and it's usually like $40 somewhere else. So
well,
I mean, the booze is cheap.
Oh, wait, I have to say, for the holidays, the Dark Stars, they are dark chocolate covered.
With nonpareils. Don't they have like the snow cap
I don't
stuff
like nonpareils. That's bullshit.
Oh, I love nonpareils. Oh, my gosh.
Stupid and communist. No. Dark Stars, little shortbread cookies with dark chocolate on. That's what you
okay. Let me shift gears real quick here. Jennifer Valley, recently you wrote an article on yourbigsister.com, which is a website run by Wendy Wilkins. She's a friend of Story.
Yes,
the wonderful
friend
one.
Of Story.
Yourbigsister.com. It's a great website, and she gets all sorts of really smart women to contribute. And you wrote an article called 20 Questions About Your Attraction to Artists and Musicians and Guys That Do Too Much Drinking and Drugs.
That's absolutely true. And I was married to an addict and and lived with a few. I don't know. It's something about artists.
A few?
They're a little tortured, you know? And all these men are brilliant. And that's what I'm attracted to. I'm attracted to talent more than anything. But sometimes that comes at a price. And a lot of them have addiction. I don't know why. Maybe my father drank a little too much. I don't know. I have the
self-medication.
I have the mentality that I'm going to save them.
I see.
You know, that I'm so awesome and my sex is so good that they're just going to clean up their act and just be the artist. But that never...
I've heard that about your sex.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be crude, but by your sex, do you mean all of your talents or one specific... part of your body.
How good I am.
I mean, it's like, you mean, right.
Well,
got
no,
it.
But I am attracted also to men that are charismatic. So if they stand apart, all of a sudden I'll do a major double take. Like, whoa, wait a minute. He's getting, you know what I mean? Like the way they
like
garner attention.
Or the life of the party.
And
the life of
the
party
room,
is,
would
you
like my sex?
And take a hit of this. Exactly. But I love that article. You're a very good writer.
Thank you.
And you've written and produced all these different shows. Do you choose to write and produce in reality TV, or does that somehow just end up that way?
Well, it's weird how the whole thing kind of evolved because I started in a sketch comedy group, and we were pretty well known. We used to open for Gary Shandling. We'd go around the country, and we had a theater in Burbank. We performed every weekend, and we had to write by a group. And it was always kind of like the guys against the girls, and you know how... No offense to you, Hannes, but a lot of guys think girls aren't funny.
Right.
So it was always like a torture. And then when I got pregnant with my second daughter, I said, you know what? I can write a joke tonight, go on stage, write it today, go on stage tonight, and I'll find out right now if it's funny.
That's right.
I don't have to rehearse for 3 weeks with these guys, have them tweak it. I'll find out, like, literally in 1 minute if it's funny or not.
I love that.
So from there, people asked me to write jokes for them. And then a friend of mine, this comic, this is a horrible story, but this comic, I won't mention his name, probably I'll say
Charlene.
It five, I'll probably say it five times. Yeah. He got a job.
He went to Tijuana to buy jokes?
Yeah, he got a job writing on a show called Keenan Ivan Wayans. Mm-hmm. He had a talk show years ago. And I couldn't believe that he got a job on that show. Not only was he not that funny as a comic, but he was really undisciplined as a writer. You know, he was doing the same jokes. I couldn't believe it. And we were such good friends. I said, Mike, no.
Mike, you say his name.
Oh, my God.
See, you are the worst spy in the world.
I said, so he actually got me in, and I got to submit jokes. And from there, I started, like, doing the old fax in, you know, to Jay Leno. And then,
now, kids, faxing was an early form of communication.
But I'll tell you how I got my first real job was at Oxygen. I was reading the paper how Oxygen was starting a network run by Oprah and Geraldine Laybourne and Marcy Carsey, and that they were going to have a studio in Los Angeles.
They were in the Paramount lot.
They were on Sunset Gower.
At Sunset Gower, okay.
And I just said, I'm going to make this happen. I didn't know anybody, nobody. So I just kind of called around and found out, like, the name of one person and sent a bunch of samples. And 2 weeks later, I got a call.
Goddamn, really?
I mean, I literally forced myself.
No, I know. I do those things, too. I do what you're talking about.
And
good
I mean,
for you.
And I got a job writing, and then they brought me back for the second season. So I wrote like 111 episodes. Got to write for a bunch of stars. It was just a blast.
What show was
it? It was called I've Got a Secret. Uh-huh. It was an updated version of a game show. The host was Stephanie Miller.
Right.
Then it had four people on the panel. It had Jim J. Bullock, who was a funny gay guy from, mm-hmm. I think it was Too Close for Comfort. Amy Yazbeck, who was married to John Ritter. Mm-hmm. And then we had rotating other people, mm-hmm. you know, on the show. Oh, no, Terry Garr. Academy Award winner Terry Garr was on
huge,
there.
Huge, right.
And so I got to write sketches. They were doing bits, and it was just awesome. And then the people from Oxygen liked me. They brought me back for the second season. Then they brought me in for a pilot, and then it kind of just snowballed from that.
And you stay with stand-up comedy, which I love.
Well, because the things I write for other people, I don't, you know, I wouldn't say for myself. So it's all a whole, I kind of separate it.
I see. And you were just at the Cabo Comedy Festival.
I was.
I heard you guys were skinny dipping in Mexico. Is that true?
Yes, I've never had more fun in my whole life.
Yay.
I mean, I was in this hotel that was right overlooking the beach. They paid for everything.
Fantastic.
I didn't have to spend
dental
a cent.
Work. Did they pay for dental work?
They did not, but they would have, I bet.
Yes.
And yes, I did skinny dip. I was up till like 4 or 5 every single night. They had after parties every night.
You have a very young heart. You're a very young spirit.
Oh, my God. And, you know, like, and everybody I'm hanging out with is like in their 20s and 30s. I'm like, oh, it was so fun.
I love it.
You know, it was so
fun. Let's hear more about the skinny dipping.
Okay,
were there other people involved
in this? Yes, there was about 20 people. So,
wow, that's a big skinny dip.
So one night we all said, let's go to the beach. And there's a bunch of comics. And a lot of the girls, some of the girls didn't want to take off their bras or the downstairs or whatever.
Right.
The guys had no problem.
Of course.
No, so everybody's running in. Running in when you're skinny dipping, by the way, is all good.
Right.
It's when you're coming out. That's when it's like, oh, because I've never seen so many guys cup their junk ever.
Right. And you know, they only need one hand because it's all cold and
you know,
messed up.
And
yeah.
The girls are like this.
It's major shrinkage,
you know,
yeah.
The girls are top and
nobody
bottom.
Nobody thought of towels.
You know, and so I put my towel and my little thing right on the sand. It's like, people, what are you doing? You know?
This is what age will bring you.
No. If you're going to do nudity in any way, shape, or form, then you just have to do it. Modesty,
yes.
And like the one nude scene I did for this thing I did for the History Channel, it was like there were like two people in the room, and then this girl had to come in and see me, and it's like, you know what, if you're gonna do it,
just
then
take
you
your
just gotta
off.
Do it.
Yeah.
It's like this whole like covering up thing. It's like I haven't been to a lot of strip clubs. I really have not. But years ago, I remember some bachelor party and go some place. I believe it was in the Valley. I believe it was called Bob's Classy Lady.
Yes, of course.
Because Jennifer knows this. And,
yeah.
You know,
well,
it's classy because it says so. And this woman comes out and she's stripping around. She's completely naked. And then at the end, the music stops and it goes, let's hear it for
Charlene.
You know, Charlene. Yeah, exactly. El Gordito, as we like to call it. And she, like, that is picking up the dollar bills and is leaving up, and she's holding her little scarf like in front of her body while she's picking up. It's like you were just thrusting your entire sex
your vulva
into
yeah, was your vulva just was in my face.
Yeah, in the spot. What? It's like now you're making us all uncomfortable by pretending we're not supposed to see. You were just naked for 10 minutes. This stuff makes no sense. Anyhow.
Anyway, I got to tell you one other thing. So when I got out of the water, you know, everybody was hiding. And a lot of the girls were, you know, kind of flat-chested because they're young and small. You know, they're petite girls. And at this point, you know, I'm trying to hide. But one of the girls was telling her comic boyfriend, oh, my God, look at Jennifer's boobs. Show everybody your boobs. Your boobs are perfect. So I'm like...
Sandra, yeah. Well, by chance, I do have perfect boobs. Yeah, thank you very much.
Like, okay.
If you must say so, okay, perfect.
Yeah, well, but it was, sure. But
Jennifer, show me your boobs.
You'll soy perfecta.
Yeah, you're all like, right. Thanks for volunteering me. Thanks very much.
Hey, listen, you want to play some shotgun story worthy?
I'd love to.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Well, I picked wild card.
Yeah.
Yay! Boobs. Wild card. I can talk about whatever I want. Okay, so I'm going to talk about Mexico. You know, there was a lot of comics down there, and I saw a fight between two famous comics for the dumbest reason ever. Kevin Meaney, who's my new best friend, love him so much, and Jonathan Solomon. Okay, so Jonathan Solomon was going on after Kevin Meaney, and he said to Kevin Meaney, you're not going to do that wild high-energy act you always do. And as a joke, Kevin Meaney said, no, I'm like Stephen Wright now. So after he did his outrageous set where everybody's like standing and screaming, he gets off and Jonathan Solomon says to Kevin, you're a prick. And Kevin Meaney's like, what? So then Jonathan did his thing, came off, and he said it again. You're a prick. And he goes, well, I thought you did a good set. So Kevin Meaney was furious. He goes, you said that to me? Followed him outside and said, I will remember this to the day I die. I will never forget you said that. Bobby Slayton came in, kind of had to break him up. They're comics. They're not going to actually fist fight. Yeah, but, you know, there was no fists or anywhere near. But they were just like,
I will continue to insult you.
I will insult you, but I'd never heard someone get so mad.
Wow. Yeah, well, no, but why was he calling him a prick?
Because he lied to him, then he said he's...
Yeah,
you never believe a fucking comic. Also, it's none of your fucking business.
Why would he say, what kind of act are you doing? It's none of your fucking business.
He knows what Kevin Meaney's like. Everybody knows.
I mean, to say that is so mean. I mean, that's so ridiculous. That's a horrible thing to say.
It's so not what stand-up is. Stand-up is not... Stand-up is that you have to deal with whatever situation you're in. You have to deal with the comic that you're following... And if they're like you, you have to be able to deal with that. If they're not like you, you have to be able to deal with that. You know, if I follow like some super high energy, you know, young black guy who's like, ah, motherfucker, it's like I have to acknowledge, I have to come out and go, this is embarrassing. I was going to do those exact same jokes.
Right.
There has to
right.
be
a transition.
The world is, you know, it's a different show every single time, especially. And so that's just very strange that he would ask him and then get that mad that he told him. Basically, he asked him a question you're not supposed to answer, and Kevin Meaney told him a joke.
Exactly.
So you're mad at a comedian for telling you a joke.
Yeah. And then when the other comic got off stage, Kevin said, that was a great set. And he goes, I still think you're a prick. And that's when Kevin lost it and was like, what?
I can sort of
what was Kevin Meaney supposed to do?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to do his act.
By the way, the other comic did well, too. I mean, he was a different thing. Kevin Meaney's this high-energy, kind of flamboyant gay act.
So was the other guy also high-energy?
No, he's like a political comic. He's more like, you know, I'm telling topical jokes about the president or whatever.
Right.
But people still loved it.
It's a whole different thing. Yeah. Nobody's comparing the two. They're two different acts. Hey, Jennifer, you're finally on Twitter. I'm glad to see it.
Finally.
Welcome to the Twitter community.
Thank you.
Jennifer Valley, at Jennifer Valley, with no E in Valley.
Right,
I'm still confused about the whole hashtag thing. I don't get that.
Okay. Hashtagging is basically what's going to trend at the moment, or what, like, in other words, you can go onto your Twitter account and, like, under hashtag, like something you might be interested in, like Mexican dentist. You can hashtag Mexican dentist and see what people are talking about. No, but more to the point, like if it was the typhoon in the Philippines, then it might be hashtag Philippines. So if you just want to know what's going on in the Philippines, rather than going to the newspaper or turning on the radio, you can go onto Twitter, hashtag Philippines, and exactly what's going on in the Philippines and how everybody thinks about it is going to be right there in front of
you. But why do people put hashtags after posts on Twitter?
Because
that I don't get.
Funny.
It'd be like, like, okay. Oh, hashtag. So they want other people to find.
I'm figuring this out myself. You can look up. There's a list of like, here are the. You can put in a hashtag and see if anybody else has done the same thing. The only one I ever got into was somebody created a hashtag called Slutty Musicals. And it was like a stupid, you know, it would be like a pun of a musical, but dirty, and Slutty Musicals. And
Hannes
like,
couldn't stop. He was on Slutty
stop.
Musicals for a week and a half.
Yeah.
Loin King,
yeah,
I'm
like,
trying to
Jesus
think.
Jesus Christ, right. Superstar, look at that ass. That yeah, was a right. popular one.
So,
the music butt.
But also, but also hashtagging can be as an after comment. So the other day I tweeted... good news, and it was about that family being found in the Nevada mountains that was stranded or whatever, and I wrote good news, and then I wrote hashtag no sarcasm, because usually I'm a sarcastic bitch on Twitter, and so I'm trying to say no sarcasm. You know what I mean?
So if I'm advertising this show, do I put hashtag storyworthy afterward?
Well, put at storyworthy, because that's how you follow us, ladies and gentlemen. Follow us here.
Okay.
At storyworthy.
See, I'm learning things. So
that's how you include.
Unless I put hashtag Mexican dentist or would I do it there? I don't know. Where I don't understand.
Well, it's all very exciting. So welcome to
the
world.
It's true. The hashtag has become, it's supposed to be a way to find things that are about one category, but they've also become jokes in and of themselves.
No, it's an afterthought. Absolutely.
It could be, yeah. So it's two different things. Like I did one where it was like I did some joke about, I'm finally watching Game of Thrones 3 years late, and I did some joke about that, and then I hashtag Game of Thrones because that was a real one, like if you wanted to see Twitter's
right.
about Game of Thrones, but then I also hashtag 3-year-old spoilers,
right.
and that was a joke.
right, so there's different ways to use it, but it's a lot of fun, and you're so witty, and you're so quick. I think it'll be really good for you.
I did my first joke on there. I thought it was pretty good.
And what was your first joke?
What was it now? Oh, I don't know if you read in the paper, but states, there was a survey that came out that ranked states by penis size.
Oh, wow.
Which states have...
Where do I have to move?
North Dakota is
number one. That's not happening.
Yeah.
So my joke was, you know, the survey came out in North Dakota, and I said the really impressive thing is the North Dakota men were measured during winter. So,
yeah,
you know.
It's exactly, yes. Something that I was
and then
just
you
like,
might hashtag small dick.
Oh, that's where I do it?
All right, you guys. Okay. We're going to wrap it up right about now. I'd like to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Sean Merrick and Anthony Bench right over here helping us out. And I'd also
He's
like to thank.
Distantly related to Johnny Bench, apparently.
He is. I'd also like to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, Hannes, he's the guy that wrote our theme song, Follow Me.
He is distantly related to my ass.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Jennifer Valley, and of course you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host,
Hannes.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.